May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Galatians 2:20 is a really familiar but fascinating scriptures. And the King James version of that is actually the more accurate translation. It says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It says about Jesus that he was the author and the perfecter of faith. And again, even though he was God, very God, he lived on earth as man. He emptied himself of his right to act out of his deity. And though he could have at any moment, he chose to instead live a life as a spirit-filled man, so that not only did he die to pay for our sin, but he also showed us as second Adam the way man is supposed to live, an utter absolute dependence on God by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so he lived a life of faith, perfect faith. He was tempted in every way like we were, yet without sin, and he was always pleasing to the Father. The scripture says without faith it's impossible to please God. And that which is not of faith is sin. So Jesus did everything he did in faith. And that passage from John 3 has been one that's captivated my imagination now for a while. Because it's a beautiful description of how faith acted, looked like from Christ's perspective. It says, that which is from above is above all. That which is of the earth speaks of the things of the earth. But that which is from heaven is above all. And so Jesus thought and Jesus spoke from heaven's perspective. That's what faith looked like. There's a place in Hebrews 3 that talks about the experience of the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, Israel, in the wilderness, and why they walked in the wilderness, and the warning to us to not repeat their same error. This is verse 8 of Hebrews 3. Do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, speaking of the Jews, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They did not know my ways. And I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Take, therefore, care, lest that you should be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. These chapters are awesome because they offer us the rest of God. Again, he doesn't say, I'll give you rest. He says, I want you to enter into my rest. I want you to experience on the inside the rest of God. Even in the midst of maybe busyness and hectic activity and responsibilities, we can know an eternal rest, a peace that passes understanding. Passes understanding. It doesn't make sense why you should have it. And a joy unspeakable, full of glory. The rest of God. But he said, they didn't enter into rest because of their evil, unbelieving hearts. They didn't understand God's ways. In Numbers chapter 13, you don't have to turn there. I forget what verse in 13. It describes the 12 spies going into the land, the promise, which is a picture of, in the Old Testament, a prophetic picture of spiritual rest, of walking in union, the fullness of Christ. And the 10 tribes go in and they discover there are all these battles to be fought, different tribes to be dealt with, different nations to be dealt with. There was the sons of Anak, the giants that were the ancestors of Goliath. And they came back, and two of the spies who went into the land gave a good report. They said, just as God's promised, the land's ours. But the 10, the majority report, it says they gave an evil report. Because what they said was, we're like grasshoppers in their sights. We don't have a chance. And the majority report went out, and the people of God never entered into the land. It took 40 years for an entire generation to die out. Everyone, only people 20 years old and younger, plus Caleb and Joshua, got to enter in 40 years later. So it's possible for a person, a people, to be brought out of Egypt, to be saved, and yet live their entire life in the wilderness, never enter into all that God has for them. That's tragic. But the problem was they listened to an evil report. Because you see, what an evil report does, it accomplishes an evil, unbelieving heart. Because in the end, unbelief is the greatest evil that you and I can commit. The just live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That which is not of faith is sin, as I mentioned earlier. Because it says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. And what faith simply does is acknowledge that God is God and God is who He says He is and what He says He is. And to not walk in faith is to not believe that, is to treat Him as if He doesn't exist or that He doesn't care or somehow He's distantly uninvolved. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who is in me, the life which I live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, what was the faith of the Son of God? The faith of the Son of God was He refused to listen to an evil report. He bore witness of what He saw and heard. And because of that, everything He did came from heaven's perspective, and when you do that, you're above all. You live the life of an overcomer instead of a victim in fear and anxiety, control and protection, anger. You see, Jesus always walked in faith. So He never had an evil, unbelieving heart because He never listened to an evil report. And anything in you, any thought process, anything going on, any conversation with somebody else that provokes unbelief in your heart is an evil report. You need to hear that again. Anything, whether it's going on in your head or coming from somebody else's mouth, that provokes or promotes unbelief is an evil report. And to live by the faith of Christ at least partly means, you see, Christianity isn't believing towards Him, it's believing from Him. We're always believing towards Christ, but the fact is that you're in Christ and Christ is in you, as we learn to believe from that place, to live by the faith of the Son of God, to live as He lived, only hearing heaven's report, only believing good report, only believing reports, whether it's in my thought life that the enemy stirs up, or through the voice of somebody else, or through circumstances, only believing reports that provoke faith. Now, if you go on and read the rest of those places in John chapter 3, it says, because Christ did that, because He only bore witness of what He saw and heard, good reports, heaven's report, everything Jesus did and said released the Holy Spirit without measure into situations, circumstances, and ministry opportunities. Faith isn't believing towards something, it's believing from something. It's believing in union with someone, believing from something. It's believing from heaven, not believing toward heaven. It's seeing things through the eyes of Christ, not trying to look into the eyes of Christ. It's living by the faith of the Son of God. There's a big difference. Because see, then you know rest, His rest. His faith brings His rest. And His faith was always living by faith's report. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.